All right, well, praise God.
If you want to grab your Bibles, we'll be starting with Romans. Good baptism scripture. Romans 6. So this morning I want to challenge us with this question: what are you presenting yourself to for duty? What are you presenting yourself to for duty? And the scripture that we're going to be going through in Romans 6, there's just like one verse that just popped up at me this week that I think I saw in a new light. I mean, it just all of a sudden spoke to me. You know, here's something that you haven't seen before. And the message I'm going to share with you, I believe, can be a key for each one of us to, or a solution to turning your life around. And by that I mean, maybe you have some sin that is just what we call besetting sin, a sin that Satan's always knows to, you know, get you with. He knows that you fall prey to it, and you just feel like you want to turn around, or maybe, you know, you're just starting to come to Christ, or you know people, you have people in your family, friends, whatever, that are just coming to Christ, or still living outside of Christ. And they just can't seem to make that turn. They can't make that switch. And so this message this morning is going to, I hope, be for you a solution to that. And the reality is, at the end of the day, when we sort out and sift out all of the things that are part of our thinking, part of our life, is we are either putting our future into the hands of Jesus or into the hand of Satan. Amen? I mean, you know, we think there's a lot of other choices, but really, it's just those two. Often, we may think, or others may say, well, can it be a third choice? Can it just be like, I'm putting my future in my own hands? And I would say charitably, no. It isn't a choice. It's because Jesus is the only true God. All other deities are fake. When you think about it, you know, not trying to offend anybody, but if you strip it away, all other deities are fake. They are not real. And they all lead to one location: death. That's the one thing they have in common. It is Satan's deception. All of the other religions besides Christianity is Satan's deception. And he works through that religion, those teachings. So if you or someone you know and you're witnessing to is part of another religion, I'm not saying that they're the devil. You know, don't get me wrong. Don't go saying that yourself. Just saying that at the end of the day, there's really only two masters, right? I mean, as we come to understand Scripture, we realize that there's only two masters. So our, I guess the point that we're going to analyze this morning is that our choices that we make precede the results. Choices precede results. And even more so, we're going to show you how our choices, the things that we present ourselves to, become a cycle that builds on itself. In other words, we just don't dip our toe in the water and that's the end of the whole equation. If you are with me in Romans 6, we're going to read verses 12 through 19. Are you there? Can I get an amen?
Amen. Amen.
Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Now that is such a profound statement. Don't let sin reign. You know, this is the kind of reign as in rule, kingship, a master. Reign. Don't let sin be the king in your body, in your life. Verse 13. Well, I didn't finish that. So that you obey its lusts. So sin, if we let it reign, if it's the king, if it's the Lord in our body, we will obey its lusts. We can't say no. If it's reigning, we can't say no. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead. You know, we say that often here. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. And that's what baptism's about. You know, we're emulating what Jesus did. He died and he was raised again to new life. Present your members, I'm finishing up verse 13, as instruments of righteousness to God. So you see, we have these two choices in the two directions with two entirely different destinations. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. And he's referring to the Mosaic laws, referring to the old covenant. And with this new covenant that Jesus ushered in, we are set free from the law, and we live under grace. And immediately when we say that, many will think, you mean I can just do whatever I want to do? Well, Paul answers that. I mean, it's a valid question. 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? In other words, the person might think, well, since I don't have to obey the Mosaic law, and, you know, I'm going to even take it further, I don't have to obey the Ten Commandments, you know, so now I'm free to sin. I'm under grace. Woohoo! He answers that again. May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, You recognize we all, that's where we start. We're slaves of sin. We're born into that. And then when we're born again, we're set free from that master. We are set free from sin. So the second part of that, verse 17. Though you were slave to sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching which you were committed. So now all of a sudden there's this transaction that's happening. We become obedient of the heart. It's a heart matter. It's a faith matter. It's not an external obedience to a law. It's now got to be from the heart. You were obedient from the heart to that form of teaching which you were committed to, and having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you present your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. So we have two steps happening here. First, we're obedient from the heart. And then secondly, we become slaves of righteousness. You know, some of us may think, slaves, that's bad, slavery is bad, I don't want to be a slave. But what we're meaning is that righteousness is now our master, not sin. You know, God is, Jesus is righteousness. They are our master. There's a point here that I think is, for me, something I have seen over and over, and as I've gotten older physically and also older spiritually, you know, I see that it is a principle that is so true. Look at this. You present yourselves as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness. Okay, that's the step. Then what happens? It results in further lawlessness. In other words, we don't just take one step in and, yeah, that was good enough. I think I'll get out of that. It doesn't happen that way. It just keeps drawing you in and you go further in. So our choices precede results. If we will make the choice to present ourselves to righteousness instead of impurity and lawlessness, we will see the benefit that our presenting ourselves to righteousness will result in further righteousness or sanctification. So no matter which road we're going down, it's once we step onto that road, it just keeps resulting in more of that. And don't try to hide from the fact that it's our choice to make. Nobody is forcing us to make that choice, whether lawlessness or righteousness. It's our choice to make. And if we will choose, if we will make this choice to present ourselves to righteousness, it will result in being set free from sin, being set free from lawlessness. And I want to encourage you, if you can, you know, put some thought into this, into your life, into the things that you're presenting yourself to, and choose in advance. You know, think ahead. Be prepared. Choose in advance if you can. It's so much easier when you go out with a thought and a preparation instead of being encountered with it right at the moment, and you kind of are prone to fail. Choose in advance. Choose what you're going to read, what you're going to watch, what you're going to listen to, what you're going to do. And you are not powerless or ignorant to make this choice. When I was a little kid, we used to watch that show, Laugh-In, and that comedian Flip Wilson would come on, the devil made me do it. You know, we think that way too. It's, you know, we want to blame it on somebody else, and somebody else had power over us. And that is true if you've made that choice. But we can all make different choices. Jesus says, but seek first his kingdom, and righteousness will be added unto you. So it's making that choice. It's who we're seeking, and it will be added onto us. When we choose lawlessness, we set in motion this thing that results in further lawlessness. So, for example, if we're reading one article or one book on false religion, you know, we'll get drawn into it and we'll want to read another one. We'll read another article, and pretty soon we feel like we've become an expert in that. Or let's say that we're watching one sensual or violent video or movie. You know, we like it. And we want to watch another one. And pretty soon, it's just astounding and even horrifying what we'll have ended up watching. Because you don't just make that big leap from here all the way to the end. It's steps at a time. And we want to arrest it as soon as we can. Let's say that we're going to bars or parties where we purposely get inebriated. That used to be my career. And I started doing it just, you know, one day a week. I mean, well, come on, it's a weekend. And I can tell you, there wasn't enough days in a week eventually. I was there every day of the week. So we start into that process and just keep drawing us in. Let's say that we're listening to the latest secular song. You know, it's catchy and it's got this phraseology in it. And, you know, we think it's kind of fun and we remember it a little bit. And then we listen to it again or listen to other songs like it. Pretty soon, that's the way we're speaking. We're using those phrases. Same with, you know, TV and movies. Do you realize how much TVs and movies influence our vocabulary?
You're talking to me.
You can't handle the truth. But it does. So I'm just kind of trying to point out that this is stuff that we all are prone to. We have to be careful. And as Christians, we need to help people realize this when they, you know, are struggling with the consequences of their lifestyle choices. You know, in fact, it gets so bad that we begin to dress and groom ourselves just like the musicians or the actors in that culture that they present and create. You know, me, I like to dress like the outdoor guy, you know, the hiker guy. But, you know, we all will come up with a style, and a lot of times it's influenced by what we're reading and listening to and watching. You know, in this choice-making thing, we may feel like, well, these substances have me addicted. I cannot escape it. But Jesus says that if your right hand makes you sin, cut it off. We had this drug and alcohol recovery house over in Del Norte. And when I would be talking with somebody that's new coming into the program, I would challenge them, you know, are you really serious about getting sober? Oh, yeah. Okay, get your phone out. And I want you to delete every phone number in there of people that you've done drugs or drink with. Now, if they did that, then I had an idea they were somewhat serious. And in the same way, we have to cut off the things in our life that draw us into sin. And it may mean, and it often means, that you have to get a whole new set of friends. You know, because your friends, those friends are the ones that you go do these wrong things that fall into lawlessness and further lawlessness. It might mean, as tough as it is, you have to start canceling subscriptions. You know, it's, whether it be magazine subscriptions are old school, right? It's online, you know, it's on our Facebook and our computers and phones and stuff. You may have to, now nobody shoot me, you may have to unfriend or unfollow somebody. You know, if they are causing you to make those decisions for lawlessness. And if you have not gotten to the point where it has no hold on you, you know, where you're not in bondage to it, you're gonna have to join different communities. One of the things I always try to encourage people when they're making this conscious choice is, you know, you gotta find new communities to be part of. And yay, church, start there. What a great place to start. There are those that, like the ones that said, well, yeah, I hear about Satan and God, but I got my own approach here. I'm going to just put my hands in my future in my own hands. And so in a sense, they're starting their own religion, right? Because then they define what the rules of that religion are, what the ethics and morals are of that religion, because they're defining it for themselves, and they're trying to make themselves good in the sight of that religion and in the sight of themselves. So in a sense, they're saying, I'll go ahead and be God. I said that this is a cycle that builds upon itself. And James, if you'll turn with me to chapter 1 of James, So go further back in the New Testament, go to the right, so hit James, Hebrews, James 1. We're going to read verses 13 through 15. And James kind of makes it plain as day for us. Verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. Now, don't we want to do that? You know, we want to say, you know, God is tempting me, so how can I say no? You know, we want to put the blame on someone else. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. Let's get that straight. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. So we see that the responsibility belongs right here. We're making that choice. 15, when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do you see that process? That's how Paul can say that. When we present ourselves to lawlessness, it results in more lawlessness. You know, sin comes in, it tempts us. So being tempted, the temptation coming to you is not the sin. It's when we accept the temptation and when we dwell on it a little bit and it gives birth to sin in our heart. And then we make that choice to go present our body to that sin. Next slide. So I want to just kind of present to you this this principle called the presenting principle. And we see this in people. They will start with a small lawless act, like, maybe speeding, getting a ticket, driving without insurance, whatever. You know, small lawless act. And then it grows into something else and something else. And pretty soon they've committed enough lawless acts that something catches up with them and they end in jail. They get out of jail, you know, short-term sentence, maybe the first one. And they come back and, you know, that first day, hopefully they're committed to, I'm not going to do that again. Well, pretty soon they present themselves to lawlessness. They make that small sin, and then it gets to be another one, a bigger one, and pretty soon they're back in jail, right? I mean, have we seen that cycle? So they're making conscious choices, but they blame it on something else. And the fact of the matter is they've just been presenting themselves to impurity and lawlessness, resulting in more lawlessness. In order to do that, people need to reject Jesus and in a sense, decide that they're going to follow Satan. And again, as I said earlier, most people don't consciously say, I'm following Satan. sometimes it has to be presented to them. They have to be aware that they're doing that. Those that are... choosing that supposed third path, well, I'm making my own religion up. I'm putting my future in my hands. To do that, you have to reject Jesus. You know, you have to say that he is not Lord. And I'm going to be that. I'm going to take that place. And they soak up everything they can about that. And then they will teach you their religion if you give them the point. So when there are those that are faced with wanting to hear the solution, and that is that if we will present ourselves to righteousness, it will result in sanctification. It will be free. That's what we're singing about. This is what freedom feels like. You know, being in Christ, not having to turn around to see if the law is coming after you, not trying to see if, you know, the cop behind you is going to pull you over. All of those things, this is what freedom feels like. You know, we don't have to worry about somebody coming after us because of what we did the day before. So I just want to make it real simple. Number one, believe on Jesus. Number two, get baptized. And number three, present yourself to righteousness and you will experience sanctification. So if you keep presenting yourself to righteousness, you will experience sanctification. I think we got the point on that one. All right, next slide. I guess before I, no, you were on the right one, the future one. Just a quick testimony on my experience with this, making a choice of who I'm going to present myself to.
Back?
Yeah. Back. Yeah, right there. Sanctification. Back many years ago, probably 25 years ago, when I was on house arrest for a crime I had committed, I became a stay-at-home dad. And while I was home, I learned how to write websites. This was back in 97 when the internet was just coming out. I got this book in the mail with my first modem, and it said, here's how you write HTML code. So I just figured it out. I'm on house arrest, and I'm doing that. And I knew I had to change my life. I knew I had to change the decisions I was making. I was newly married. We had, you know, 1-year-old and maybe she was 1.5, and the other one was a newborn. And I had to make some changes. So I started learning how to write websites and fix computers. I went to my local church that I was attending, and I offered to show up and take care of their computer network. So I would be there, and it was a great legal way for me to get out of the house while I was on house arrest. So I would show up at church and work on their computers. And then as time went on, I started offering free websites to churches on the internet, and I started getting all kinds of inquiries, but they were all from foreign countries, like Africa. And so I would be making websites, and pretty soon I made hundreds of websites for churches. I offered to go to churches in our town and fix their computers. And so I'm fixing their computers, and I'm getting to talk about Jesus with the pastors or whoever's at those churches. And then I started teaching my kids the Bible, and then I don't know how or why, but this church let me be a Sunday school teacher. So I was a Sunday school teacher for 3-year-olds, you know, and just having fun doing that. And then I got baptized at that church, and let's see, whatever happened after that. So then I finally went on a mission trip to Uganda, and while I was there is when I felt God saying, I want you to get into ministry. What, me? You know, I know what I am and where I've come from. When I was at that church working on their computers, they had bought like 15, 20 acres, and they were going to build a new church. So me, Mr. Criminal, went out and led a prayer team every Saturday morning on that property to pray for the future church. So what I'm trying to show you here is, if you start making intentional choices, presenting yourself to righteousness, God will use that. So he took me, set me free from the bondage to sin and the things that the criminal acts I was doing, to doing things in church and with church people and missions. And it's just astounding what God will do. He takes a little bit and it results in further righteousness and then sanctification. So I'm hoping by giving you that portion of my testimony that if you're in your mind holding back, or you run into somebody that is really far out there, that you realize God can use any of us, no matter how far from Christ they are. It's just astounding what he can do. So what is sanctification? We like to use that word. It's the act of God's grace by which the affections of men are purified or alienated from sin and the world, and exalted to a supreme love of God. So it's the act of setting apart for a sacred purpose. So sanctification is a change in our affection, and being set apart, because of that change, not because we've done all these great things, but it's a heart act. It's an affection. So who do we present ourselves to? And how do we present ourselves? We present ourselves by engaging in whatever is presented to us. So we can engage in sin, or we can engage in righteousness. So in me trying to get out of my bondage to sin and lawlessness, I presented to righteousness, and I kept engaging with them, and God worked through that. And he can work through you just as well. If engaging or presenting yourself to righteousness also means you kind of have to reject the other side, you know, what you've been doing. Saying, you know, that's no longer me. I don't want to do that. I want to present myself to righteousness. So what's exciting about today? Today we have people who are taking this step. They're saying, you know, I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm a slave to righteousness. And they're getting baptized. It's that step. They're making that step, presenting themselves to righteousness. What's more righteous than saying to Jesus is my Lord and Savior in front of other people and then getting dunked in the pool? So we have to reject our old life. We have to crucify our old man. And that's kind of what's happening when we dunk him in the pool. You know, you're crucifying. We're killing that old man. So today, these people are making a choice. They are setting a legacy. Think about that. By getting baptized, they're setting a legacy of the future. You know, someday you'll probably have a wife and children, and they'll have children, you'll be an old grandpa man like me. You know, it's a legacy that you're starting. It's a purposeful choice to submit themselves, to present themselves to righteousness. And I'll tell you what, it works, doesn't it? It works. I mean, we see people over the years who have come and they've gotten saved, they've gotten baptized, they've gotten married, they've gotten jobs, they've gotten houses. You know, their life has progressed. We've seen people come in and become children's ministry workers. Glory, hallelujah. Just amazing. We've seen many come in and also an evangelist inviting people to church to Amazing Grace. And they're spending their free time carrying out the things and the parts of the ministry. It's just fascinating to watch how this happens because it's organic. Nobody tells you have to volunteer here. And nobody says you can't volunteer unless you've reached, you know, this bar here. You know, we're all just, we volunteer, we serve, we're presenting ourselves to righteousness. So remember that when, you know, you might hear other people saying that, you know, how could you let that person volunteer at your church? Well, we're teaching them to present themselves to righteousness. And I think, and I'm sure you probably agree that one of the best ways to get to know Jesus is to serve. And serve with other believers. That's kind of that one-on-one discipleship. Think about this. There's no telling in 10 years from now where these people are going to be that are getting baptized today. 10 years from now, they're going to look back to this day, and they're going to see a difference in their life. You know, 10 years ago, this church was just being planted in a little sand pit at a camper, a happy camper. What can happen in 10 years? So it's all about presenting ourselves. Who are we presenting ourselves to? And, you know, the thing that we need to remember is that this church isn't a history prison. In other words, we're not going to hold your history against you. And you shouldn't be doing that too. And Jesus doesn't hold your past against you. He wants to set us free and to give us a future, a hope and a future. So This church is a future builder. And part of why I'm saying this is, you know, we do have a reputation. Amazing Grace. Some of it's deserved, some of it's not. But as you come across it, it's a teaching moment. It's an opportunity for you to witness to others. Yeah, we let that sinner in the church. Yeah, we let that sinner serve and help. Because, you know, we're concerned with their future, not their past. And I can say it knowing what my past has been, and probably you can too, as I know many people's testimonies. I know your past is just as bad as mine. But look at what God has done in our lives. And today, when you witness these baptisms, you are going to be part of their faith life that's going forward. You're going to be part of being a future builder in these people's faith. And praise God, hallelujah. Can't think of anything better. Thank you.